Good to have all of you in here this morning. We're going to continue with our study today of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And let's have a word of prayer. Brother Don Raley, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, so much for this beautiful day. Thank you, God, for having us come into your house so we can worship thee in spirit and in truth. And hear another message and another lesson from the Word of God.
Yes.
God, we need you. We need you to speak to our hearts. We need you to, for a little while, take us in and never thought so we can be in your presence and not be away from this world. This world has gone to hell. Heavenly Father, we need you. We need you so very much. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. If you'll turn to Psalm chapter 2 this morning. And you'll see the attitude of the world. Psalm 2, verse 1. The scripture says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." If you'll notice, there's a lot going on in the second chapter of the Psalms. There's a lot going on. First of all, it sets out very clearly how that the kings of the earth, the rulers of the earth, have set themselves against the Lord Jesus. They always have, they always will. They will not have this man reign over us. That's what the Jews said. And you can be certain that that's exactly what's happening today. I want to bring some things out for you this morning from the United Nations. What they're attempting to do, and you need to know this because it's very important to understand that the United Nations is the enemy of Christ.
Amen.
And there's no doubt about that in my mind whatsoever, none. They are definitely the enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've taken this from the website of Berit Kios, which is Crossroads, I think is the name of it. And she's a real fine Christian lady, and she's got a lot of good material. And I wanted to give you their agenda, just show you, they spell it out. I mean, nothing's being hidden anymore. And they're spelling out their agenda, what they intend to do. They intend to bring about a one-world church. In 1948, Bishop John Shelby Spong, in his article, "Why Christianity Must Change or Die," he said, "Change will probably be radical, if not total. Those whose lives are dedicated to serving the church of the past will resist these suggestions with a vehemence that always emerges from threatened hierarchies and dying institutions. But the seeds of resurrection are present in the exile, and in time those seeds will sprout and bloom. When they do, we will once again be able to see continuity between a church of the past and the purged and open church of the future." See the idea? They want to cleanse us from our old, from the old faith, the real faith, the true faith. The year 2000 has arrived, ushering in the United Nations International Year of the Culture of Peace. You're going to hear a lot about peace. Fact is, you're seeing that now in the Arab countries. Here are some of the goals. Redefine Christianity. Completely redefine it. You're seeing that happen right now. You're seeing it happen. You're seeing preachers who stand in the pulpit, the only thing they have to say is prosperity, feel-good sermons, and a one world, a one church, one world view. equate biblical truth and evangelism with hate and intolerance. These hate crime laws are some of the worst assaults against the Constitution of anything. I can't imagine. I just absolutely blows my mind when I see what they've allowed to happen, a so-called hate crime, and then hate speech that follows. Freedom of speech is one of the greatest things that our Constitution gives us. Hold Christians accountable to global standards of mental health. They consider you to be unstable mentally if you believe what your fathers believed. Conform churches to UNESCO's Declaration on Religion in a Culture of Peace. Build the framework for global control. Establish the One World Church. Now, these are very serious things. Because if you're a Bible believer, you know that the Bible says plainly in Revelation that He causeth the whole world to receive His mark. There is coming a one world government and a one world church. This coming Saturday, Benjamin Netanyahu is going to meet with President Obama. I think this is his second meeting. I'm not sure about that, but I know he's going to meet. I know the last meeting that he had with Mr. Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, was a horrible confrontation. And I've been reading the Jerusalem Post and the Jewish Press about the meeting that's coming up this Saturday. And if he does Benjamin Netanyahu like he did in the last time, it'd be the last time Barack Obama will ever meet with Benjamin Netanyahu.
Amen.
Netanyahu will not meet with him again. He will not meet with him again. The president of this country, I don't know if you know this or not, but you need to know this, is no friend to Israel.
Amen.
He is no friend to Israel. This turmoil in the Arab world right now is being fomented by some elements that aren't open, that you don't see much of. There's an awful lot of well-read people out there who seem to know what they're talking about that says that the United States is the one who is pushing this overthrow of these Arab countries. And in the process, they want to do away with Al-Qaeda. And they want to give these Arab countries their own, these people, to give them what they feel like is their control of their own countries to pacify them, satisfy them. In other words, to be able to bring them under control. In order to have a one world government, you must be able to control the people. They know that the Arab, can become a very uncontrollable type person. The Scripture says of Ishmael that he'd be a wild man. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
The pushing for a peace is apparently is Mr. Obama's agenda. He's pushing for peace. He is pushing to reshape the world more now than he ever has before. I know he's running for office, and he's had to back off on a few things, but as soon as he's reelected, if he is reelected, you better get ready.
Yes, sir.
You better get ready. He has nothing to lose, and he's got 4 years to do it in. You haven't seen a radical left agenda.
Amen.
Until that man's been put in for the second term. If that happens, you better get ready. But in any event, Israel is the odd man out, surrounded by all these Arab nations who want their destruction. And Israel sees themselves now, for the first time in some time, as alone. They're alone. They're alone. Now, the average American really doesn't have much of a grasp of history, doesn't really understand what's been going on, but you can thank your prosperity, your civility, the culture that you live in. You can thank it directly back to ancient Israel and to the Bible.
Amen.
You better believe it. Because had it not been for them who handed us the Scriptures, this country, if this country lived like some of the European countries and some of the other countries of the world, the women would be in bondage. You'd be slaves.
Amen. That's right.
The Bible sets a woman free. But in any event, I want you to watch closely what happens Saturday, this coming Saturday, because that'll be a bellwether mark right there. Saturday, this coming Saturday, if Benjamin Netanyahu leaves out of that meeting incensed with his meeting with our president, our present occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, if he leaves that meeting incensed, then you'll know that Obama's throwing him to the wolves, and that they expect, and here's what he intends to do. He's going to create a Palestinian state. He intends to create a Palestinian state. Obama does. And by doing that, of course, he will appease the Arabs even more. He got up in Egypt a few months back and told them that America was no longer a Christian nation. You see, he said that. And a great majority of the people in this country believe that Obama is a closet Muslim. They believe that. Well, I don't know what he is, but I do know this. I do know that he'd better be very careful when it comes to Bible prophecy, because there is going to be an Antichrist that rises up. An Antichrist. And that Antichrist I believe we're living in that age right now. I believe it's time for him. So, I'm not saying Obama's the Antichrist, but I am saying that he's living in a time where he better be very careful what he does and where he goes, because he may wind up in a position he doesn't want. He may wind up, right now he may just be the President of the United States and a politician, but he may wind up with more power and authority he ever imagined. And that's not going to be bode well for him, because I'd hate to see him become the Antichrist, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that look good for the old stars and stripes, America, to produce the Antichrist? That'd be a horrible thing. That'd be horrible. But in any event, it's coming. It's coming. And I want you to notice that it's very important that these people are unrelenting. They are going to force through their agenda. And this is why I've mentioned Rick Warren to you before, is because this peace initiative, this idea of peace, Rick Warren is the religious, apparently, go-to guy for peace. And his peace plan is to unite the world's religions. That's an amazing thing of a so-called evangelical Christian. They want to equate biblical truth and evangelism with hate and intolerance. If you preach the gospel, you can be hauled down to the local courthouse and charged with preaching hate speech. Do you think that built this country? You don't have to have an IQ of 60 to see that. Do you think that kind of wild, radical, left-wing garbage built this nation? It would tickle me to death to see people get so mad they do something about it. What do you mean? Go to the polls. I mean, really. Redefine Christianity. Here's one that says, I am always fearful when we in the Christian community move beyond the rightful claim that Jesus is decisive for us to the presupposition that non-Christians are outside God's plan for salvation. Bishop C. Joseph Sprague, member of the Council of Religious Leaders and head of 425 churches in the United Methodist Churches Northern Illinois Conference. Now let me decipher what he just said. I am always fearful when we in the Christian community, he calls himself a Christian, move beyond the rightful claim that Jesus is decisive for us. In plain words, Jesus Christ means everything to us as Christians, but we should never be so arrogant as to believe that God does not have other ways of salvation. That's exactly what he said. For he said, it is decisive for us to the presupposition that non-Christians are outside God's plan for salvation. This is the Methodist Church. If the board of elders of the Methodist Church had any of Christ in them, they'd throw this man out. Amen. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way, Amen. The truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Somebody, when you try to make it an issue of just old-fashioned Baptist or somebody like that, and the modern movement, you're dead wrong, folks. It's the book. Amen. It's the Bible. It's the Bible. That's what makes all the difference in the world. What does the Scripture say? And the Scripture is very plain on it. Now, the declaration of the role of religion in the promotion of a culture of peace. The role of religion in a culture of peace. Now, you've heard these little buzzwords time and again. Faith tradition. Al Gore used that. Your faith tradition. That's a buzzword. What does that mean? It means nothing, but here's how he meant it when he used it. He said by using that, that's the way you were raised. That's what you were taught as a child. That's your tradition. That's how you grew up. You know, that's all right. That's fine for you. But what about someone who grew up on the other end of the earth under a different tradition or a different faith? Theirs is just as viable as yours, just as good as yours. That's what that means. It's relativism. Relativism has become the basis of everything. What does relativism do? It takes away absolutes. When you take away an absolute and you're left with relativism, there is no right and wrong, up or down, black or white, red or yellow. There is nothing to differentiate anything from, you see. Now think for a moment. When I grew up, the public school system, we had a flag. And we would stand every day, and our teacher would lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Every day. That was a picture of George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, and, others inside the classroom. And then we had very strong emphasis on the Revolutionary War, Paul Revere, you know, the Minutemen, and all these things that made us Americans. Okay? What that did in the heart of these little children was to build patriotism.
Yes.
You identified as an American. You didn't identify as an Italian, or a German, or a Greek, or an African, or an Englishman. You identified as American.
Amen.
Everybody was an American, see? That's the way it should be. All right? But now what's happened in the last 20, 30 years is an insidious thing has begun to be propagated among the people, and it's slowly worked its way in, and it's called multiculturalism. What is that? Well, this country's a melting pot. It's taken people from all over the world. America is a product of immigration. It's an immigrant country. I mean, folks, you don't have a clue. Listen. If you do a little reading, you'd find out that in places in Europe, if your skin is a certain color, you don't go there. You don't go there. That's fact.
Yes, sir.
Challenge me on that fact and go see if I'm wrong. You'll find out I'm right. Russia is one of those countries. They are rabid about it. All right, so, but that's not a multicultural country. America is made up from people from all over the world. All right? But when they come into this country, it's called a melting pot. What's that mean? That means they become Americans. All right. Multiculturalism throws every bit of that out and says everybody retains their old identities. Why do they do that, though? What's the purpose? Let me give you the simple purpose of it. It's to destroy the sovereignty of a nation. The reason that Obama will not close the wall between Mexico and the United States, and he allows, we got now, 14 million aliens in this country? Is that what it is? 16 million aliens in our country, folks. They're not Americans. They don't even know who George Washington was. That flag doesn't mean a thing to them. You need to understand this. That they are destroying the sovereignty of a nation. Destroying the sovereignty. All right. But why are they doing that? See? You keep asking yourself the question, what's this lead to? What's that lead to? What's this lead to? Why? Why? Here's why. By destroying the sovereignty of a nation, that nation can more easily embrace world citizenship. We are citizens of the world. See, that's the idea. In plainer words, it is a method or a tactic to get people to become part of a one world government is to destroy the sovereignty. Now, they've used quite a few different methods. I could get into one, how they assaulted Western Europeans and all of that in this nation, how you professors in the colleges are what they're saying, what they're teaching young men, women, and all that junk. There's a lot of different avenues to do it. But the bottom line is that they want to destroy sovereignty. They want to destroy the sovereignty of the United States of America. You are witnessing it happening right now before your very eyes. What's the purpose? To create a one world government. And that's been around for a long time. Now, this declaration of the role of religion in the promotion of a culture of peace. Here's what they're teaching. Religions have led to division, hatred, and war. That's one of the first arguments you'll get especially from a college educated kid. Peace entails that we understand that we are all interdependent. See that interdependent? See the buzzword? Collectively responsible for the common good. All right, you remember it takes a village to raise a child? You know who said that? Yeah, not really, folks. There's an awful lot of things in the village that I don't want their hands on my children. Our communities of faith, see how a community is redefined? A community of faith have a responsibility to encourage conduct imbued with wisdom, compassion, sharing, charity, solidarity, and love. What they do is reach into the gospel of Christ and pull out the things that they like, and that becomes the religion, not Christ himself. Our faith is not in love. Our faith is not in faith, regardless of what Jesse Jackson says. Our faith is not in compassion. Our faith is not even in truth. Our faith is in Christ. Who is truth? Who is compassion? He is all these things. But our faith is in a person. Now, once they get the Christian to get his focus off of the person and onto the characteristics or elements of that person, then they've completely destroyed faith in Christ. The church is not here today. The purpose of the church is to be compassionate. The purpose of the church is to glorify Christ. By glorifying Christ, you will have compassion. You see what I mean? We should distinguish fanaticism from religious zeal. Yeah. What's the difference between zealotry and fanaticism? Where is the line? Where do you cross the line? Think about it for a moment. A fanatic. What's the first three letters of fanatic? How do you spell it? Fan, right? You know what a fan is. Fanaticism and religious zeal. We should distinguish. In plainer words, be calm about your faith tradition, and don't get so overly carried away with it that you begin to cause problems. We will favor peace by countering the tendencies of individuals and communities to assume or even to teach that they are inherently superior to others. See that? They want this leveling feel, and they're the biggest lying hypocrites that ever lived. Mark this down in your book. The elitists that pull the money strings, who call the shots, who control the educational institutions, are some of the most racist people on the face of this earth. They've got two faces. They've got one face for public consumption, and another face is who they are among themselves. They have organizations that only certain people can belong to, and you have to meet the criteria to join. That's what we're talking about. But you see, that's always, remember, there is the public consumption. It's what the public needs to hear. That's the way they control the minds of the people. And that's exactly what they're doing. We will promote dialogue and harmony between and within religions, respecting the search for truth and wisdom that is outside our religion. Now, do I need a Hindu's truth? No, I don't, folks. I don't need a Buddhist truth. I don't need a Shinto priest truth from Japan. I don't need a Jainist truth. I don't need a shaman. I don't need his truth. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the life. He has made unto us all things. Everything we need is satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. We call upon the institutions of our civil society, the United Nations system, governments and governmental, non-governmental organizations, corporations, and the mass media, to strengthen their commitments to peace and to listen to the cries of the victims. Oh, like you really care about the cries of the victims. We call upon the different religious and cultural traditions to join hands and to cooperate with us. And see, there's the warning that comes from Scripture that says, can two walk together except they be agreed?
Amen.
You'll go with a man if he's doing right as far as you can with that man to do right. We're not in here to disrupt society. It's not our place to bring down the government. It's not the Church of God that's blowing people up, folks. They just arrested a man down there in Florida with his two sons and for funneling money into the Pakistani Taliban. You reckon he was a Baptist preacher? What do you think he was? He was a Muslim. Of course he was. It's not the church blowing people up, but they're brainwashing people into believe that they have more to fear from the church than they do from people like that. And then we build a framework for global control. Listen to this. John Foster Dulles, Secretary of State under the Eisenhower administration. This was in 1950s. As head of the Federal Council's Interchurch Commission to study the basis of a just and durable peace, Dulles submitted the conference report. It recommended, number one, a world government of delegated powers. That's all the way back in the 50s under Dwight Eisenhower. I'm not saying that President Eisenhower had anything to do with this. He was a warrior. But John Foster Dulles was the Secretary of State, so I don't know how much collusion was involved in it, but here's what happens. A world government of delegated powers, immediate limitations on national sovereignty, see there? International control of all armies and navies, NATO and United Nations, a universal system of money. How many of you saw in the news this morning that the head of the IMF got... did you see what he did?
Mm-hmm.
How many know about that? You'll hear it this afternoon. It'll be big news. Big time. This guy is the head of the IMF. Do you know what the IMF is? That's the International Monetary Fund. He was staying in New York City, $3,000 a night hotel, and he literally assaulted some girl. Assaulted her sexually. Now he's in a slammer up there in New York, but this guy was in line to run for president of France. You see what I mean? A universal system of money, worldwide freedom of immigration. See there? Foster Dulles wanted worldwide freedom of immigration. Are they getting that? Yes, they are. They certainly are. Talk to Jan Brewer down there, the governor of Arizona. See what she has to say about immigration. A democratically controlled international bank. All right. Federal Reserve System formed in 1913 on Jekyll Island down there off the coast of Georgia. A clandestine operation when these heads of banks came together as quietly as they possibly could and form a central bank a central banking system that controls the flow of the money, and you had not one word to say about it. Yes, sir. Yeah, the euro.
The checkpoints and the boundaries between the countries have just fallen away, and they're saying that freedom of movement across most of the borders, most countries there in Europe today.
Mm-hmm.
That's come about.
Mm-hmm. Well, it yes, because by having a currency like that, it immediately makes it easier to travel and buy and sell. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Just
right. Do you know that Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, has been pumping money into the system here in this country? He's been printing money just unbelievable that the amount of money that he's printing. And now you know what they're telling you? They're telling you that inflation's going to rise. It's already going up. If you go to the grocery store like I do, my grocery bill is a whole lot higher than it used to be. Inflation. All right. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, good night. I could buy a loaf of bread for 20 cents. I remember a time like that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I laughed at somebody when I went to get a loaf of bread that was 23 cents a long loaf. And the guy told me, someday it'll be $1 a loaf. And I see one the other day, it was $4.99.
Yeah, $5.
Seven.
You can't get out of the grocery store now for less than $100, $120, $140. Yeah, it is. Yes, sir. They're doing it in stages. Exactly. They destroy a sovereign currency of a sovereign nation, and then they create this man-made currency that includes a district or what have you. Then that'll be done away with, and they'll have one currency for the whole world. And you know, that's what's happening in the United States. Exactly. That's what's happening in this country. The sovereign, when a nation can no longer print its own money, it's not sovereign. Yes, sir.
Doesn't
see it, does he? Electronic transfer. Yes.
Also, a lot of states are now trying to anticipate this fall of the dollar, and they're now.
Yeah, talking about printing their own money.
Their own money.
Yeah.
Just like they did back during the thing.
Yeah, yeah, because it's not original that they did it before. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Do we see Revelation coming right before our eyes?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I don't know how to make it any plainer. And that was 2,000 years ago when they wrote that. Anybody in here like to tell me what's going to be here 2,000 years from now? Imagine that. Of course the Lord will, I know. Yeah, but I mean, do you have any idea what... Think about a book that was written 2,000 years ago. That's just as exhibit as it would, just took a newspaper and laid it down and wrote it today. That's inspiration. Yes, ma'am.
Your money's not going to be worth anything. When the dollar collapses, your dollar will be absolutely worthless. Your investments will be worthless. You won't have nothing. The only ones that are going to survive are the multi-billionaires.
Well, the elite will.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The elite know exactly what they're doing, where they're going, how they're going to do it. Yeah. Yeah. The middle class has always been the buffer to keep a country right. You've always had the very rich and the very poor. Always have. Always have. And America has had a strong middle class now for decades. Strong middle class. Working middle class. And that made all the difference in the world. How many really believe that what I'm talking about here is happening?
Yes, sir.
Here's the last thing on their agenda. Even distribution of the world's natural wealth. When Mr. Obama ran for presidency, he said we're going to spread the wealth around to Joe the plumber. That's what he said. Spread the wealth around. That's what Putin, whatever his name is, that's what he said. He said communism failed. And I'll tell you why it fails. Because some people will work two jobs to pay their bills and to make it in life, and some wouldn't work in a pie factory. Am I right? Even at the time of Christ, the Apostle Paul said, if you won't work, you won't. And so some won't work and some will. So what are you going to do? You take it from the man who works two jobs, take your money and hand it to this guy that won't work? That's what he's talking about. Do what? Yeah, it is what's happening now. It is happening. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac had a big hand in doing that. Yes, sir.
It was on the Fox News. They had a bunch of kids in college going around and taking a survey and asking other kids to give up their grade points to kids that don't make very good grades in order for them to help them to be educated. They were just making a point that work hard, you deserve to be rewarded.
Absolutely.
If you don't work, you shouldn't be rewarded.
That's what I was taught in high school.
Yes,
work hard and you're rewarded for your hard work.
But the kids on the campus, well, that's not the same thing. You know, money is totally different from grades. You deserve your grade because you work hard. Well, my goodness, if you work hard, you deserve your paycheck. Yes,
exactly. And anyway, the how many of you have ever traveled any in the world? I've been around the world, folks. Not every place, but I've seen a lot of it. Believe me. I've been to places where it's filthy. It was so filthy, it would literally take your breath away. I mean, filth. I've been to places when I got off of that airplane that was cleaner than America. Much cleaner. And I was surprised, even in the countryside. Clean, beautiful. And something said to me, "Oh boy, observe where you are and why it's like this. And you'd be smart to do the same thing. You cannot force everybody together and create this utopian society because people are not the same. They're not the same. They're not the same. It won't work, never has worked, never will work. They're not the same. There are some people who want more out of life than others. And America has always been a country that if you worked hard, you were rewarded for it. And it's a land of opportunity. If you're willing to get out there and get with it, well, you can better yourself. And it can happen. Still can, for that matter. But there are places in this world where there's not much opportunity at all. The thing that's made the biggest difference with them, remember, it's a melting pot. Remember, America's got people from everywhere in the world. The thing that's made the difference is that Holy Bible.
Yes, sir.
That's made all the difference. If there's only one thing, only one book in the world that levels people, it's the book right here.
Amen.
That levels people. That levels them right there. That levels them. All right. Brother Rouye, will you dismiss?